Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, September 14th, 2015. Buckle up, it's going to be a high-octane program, as you're going to hear from my special guest, Guy Rogers. He recently accepted the position of CEO and president of Pinnacle Forum. I've been a participant and a member of that great organization for the last number of years, and this past Friday, under the capable and great leadership of Tim Johnson, there was a special monthly gathering kickoff for our new season, and Guy was asked to share, and so we were introduced to him. And so after he spoke, I was convinced I needed to get him to the home studio, so you're going to hear our conversation as recorded just this past Friday. And so let me share a little background, and then today and tomorrow, you're going to hear in its entirety our conversation. The professional career of Guy Rogers has spanned the education, small business, political, and nonprofit sectors. He has co-owned a small retail business, been a public high school teacher, and adjunct professor at the graduate level. His experience includes vice president of a polling company and founder of two political consulting and strategy firms. His nearly 60 clients include four presidential campaigns, several members of Congress, and a state attorney general. In executive leadership roles with state and national nonprofit organizations, he has helped build successful grassroots networks comprising thousands of chapters addressing issues ranging from protecting religious liberty and the traditional family to combating the threat of radical Islam. In 1998, he was named a rising star by Campaigns and Elections magazine. Guy Rogers has appeared on hundreds of TV and radio news and talk programs. He has been a presenter at business and nonprofit, educational and political conferences and training seminars in 47 states. Preached and taught in non-denominational churches and churches representing nearly a dozen denominations, and has been a featured speaker at conferences training Christian political leaders from Latin America. He and his wife Beth just celebrated their 38th wedding anniversary, and they are parents of two grown children, Ethan, who is an Air Force officer and pilot, and Abigail, an aspiring professional ballet dancer. My conversation began off-air by asking Guy to share who is Guy Rogers, to tell me about Pinnacle Forum, and what's the Lord been teaching him lately. His testimony focuses on three areas: discipleship, spiritual revival, and cultural transformation. And you'll learn how well that fits with what Pinnacle Forum goals are with transforming leaders to transform culture. Here's Guy Rogers.
Well, let me start with just a little bit about who I am in terms of how I came to know the Lord. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a totally unchurched home. When I tell people this, they almost don't believe when I say, when I was 16 years old, I didn't know why crosses were on churches. Mm-hmm. And they, how can that be possible in America? Well, it was.
And where did you grow up? What town?
I grew up in Omaha.
Okay.
And didn't go to my first church service till I was 18. I got saved at a Young Life camp in mm-hmm. Colorado, at a summer camp. It was the course of a whole week camp. There was a speaker each night. He walked through the life of Jesus, basically took the Gospels and just synthesized them down to the life of Jesus. And I'll never forget the night he got to the point about the crucifixion, and I hadn't even heard it that way before. Mm. Wow. Tears started rolling down my face. I don't ever remember specifically praying, God, come into my heart, but they gave us time to walk around and think about this and pray. But I knew. I gave my life to the Lord that night. The first one in my family as far back as two generations that I know of. My brother got saved at the same camp. My other brother got saved sometime later. My mom got saved before she died of cancer in 1985. Mm-hmm. And it just changed our whole family. I mean, it really is an example of how God can reach into your life, even if you're so far away from, you don't even know why a cross is on the church.
Hey, I'm going to ask you something as far as defining terms, because we have a wide range of listeners. A couple of our frequencies are right between two rock and roll stations. So we welcome each and every listener that tunes in to Great News Radio. But you used the term saved, or you gave your life to the Lord. For somebody maybe unfamiliar with those terms, or maybe even for Christians, just to remind them of what it meant to really make a commitment, or to, some would say, sell all or surrender all, or say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. What does it mean to be saved or to give your life to Jesus?
What I understood at the time, which of course is a very small part of what I came to understand later, mm-hmm. was that my life was not going to be mine anymore. my life was going to be given to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you honestly, Mark, I didn't know what all that meant, but I knew that the way I was living my life and walking my life and what I was doing, this was not the life I wanted to continue.
Yeah.
And as I began walking that walk and started understanding and studying the Bible and being around, you know, other Christians, it became clearer. I began to understand it. But at the time, I can honestly say I didn't get it all. But here's the neat thing. God knew.
Yeah.
He didn't. I didn't have to pray a specific prayer. Or something. He knew what was there in my heart and what I desired. And if there's somebody listening and that's where you are, hey, you know, God knows your heart. Just go before him and say, Lord, take me. Take me. I surrender to you. He'll take you from there.
Now, you had a week worth of teaching and conversations about this Jesus, this Son of God, this healer, this teacher, this friend of humanity, this Savior of the world. Were you searching for someone to fill a vacuum in your life, or did you recognize, hey, I'm fallen, I sin, I do things I don't want to do, or were you maybe miserable internally? Like, what was the point where you said, you know, I want to follow this Jesus. This is something that I need to do. Like, what was that conviction that was going on in your mind or brain that didn't go on, you know, when you were 15
right,
or 13?
Right. Well, since you mentioned the age 15, when I was 15, my parents got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 16, they remarried each other.
Hmm.
When I was 17, they divorced again. And I've never encountered somebody. I mean, I know a lot of people who have come from broken families. I've never encountered somebody who's got that story.
Hmm.
And that was, as you might imagine, that was a pretty turbulent time for me. It was a broken time. It was a really messed up time. And what precipitated this search was first day of my senior year of high school. My locker mate had a flyer for this Young Life retreat. I didn't know what Young Life was, had no idea. He said, you really ought to check it out. And he said, we got a meeting tonight. And then here was the kicker. He said, and there's a lot of cute girls there.
Yeah, Young Life's always been known for that.
And I said, I'm in.
Yeah.
If for no other reason, it was another reason to be out of the house.
Yeah.
It was a terrible time. And that began a search through the next year,
mm-hmm.
and I was searching, asking questions, but I wasn't getting all the answers. I wasn't understanding but there was a hunger for something, and I was seeing something there. And then it all came together that August in 1973, where enough of the questions were answered.
Yeah.
And I went, this is it.
And I think you probably learned about the character of Christ, how he is, you know, righteous and loving and caring and filled with mercy. And I think many times people are reluctant or reticent to surrender to him because they just haven't learned how wonderful and perfect and holy and righteous and loving and caring he is. I think when we learn about the character of God, it's not this big deity in the sky that's waiting to pulverize us or punish us or discipline us in a way that's maybe modeled after some unhealthy relationships. I think when we learn about the character of God, we're drawn to him, and then we're maybe more open to surrendering and submitting and then following him. So you had this week of learning about Jesus. You kind of got excited. Did you recognize at the time that you were forgiven for sins that you had committed and sins into the future and that you had established a relationship that would carry on into eternity? Did you get that information?
I don't think I grasped all that at the time, looking back. But I'll tell you one thing I did grasp. I'm walking around afterwards, and physically the whole world looked different.
Yeah.
I mean, when it talks in the Bible, there's a phrase to talk about the scales drop from their eyes. That was me.
Yeah.
People would come up to me and say, something about you are different. You are different. I mean, that was a radical change, of course, for me. And from there, I knew enough that I needed to start seeking what this walk meant, following this God. But I honestly didn't have a whole lot of answers at that point of even how to do it. But, you know, again, I'll tell you, anybody who's listening, if you really want to search and seek, what you are going to find.
Yeah.
Jesus guaranteed that, and my life is an example of that.
I'm thinking of that. James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It's one of my favorite verses. I think NIV might say, come near to God and he'll come near to you. That the fact that God is always seeking us out, chasing after us, what they call him, the hound of heaven. Yep. So, okay, so you return home. Is your mom and others thinking, who is this new guy? Who is this new guy? Pun intended.
Well, I don't think my mom really knew what to make of it.
Yeah.
Of course, my brother and I both came home from the camp as now converted Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what started the search for me.
Yeah.
And over the next 10 years, this was 73, next 9 years, the Lord brought three men into my life.
Mm.
a pastor, the director of Omaha Young Life, where I eventually became a Young Life leader, and then the president of the Omaha Bible School, who discipled me for 4 years, from 1978 to 1982. And those were each, in their own way, very significant and awakened in me a passion for discipleship. Mm-hmm. We often use the term mentoring today, a passion for that one-on-one, personal, investing in somebody's life. And that's what happened to me. And that turned my life around from my worldview, how I looked at the world, how I thought about the world, all the books I read and studied, the questions that I worked through with these men. It put my feet on a path that I never, ever, ever would have dreamed of, even after becoming a Christian.
All right.
The situation with the president of the Bible school who discipled me. He actually came to guest preach in our church. My wife and I had been married about a year, and
okay, time to do a little shout out. You got to tell me something that you love about her or how God brought you two together.
My wife, so
I do digress here, but everyone loves to hear how God uniquely fits somebody together, and I think you've been married now like 38 years.
38 years. Wow. The thing that most grabbed my attention with my wife, that's a whole interesting story of how we met, but that this was a woman that was spunky. She was 5 feet tall and every bit of 5 feet of spunk.
And was she a believer at the time when you met?
She was a believer.
Okay.
She'd actually been a Christian a little longer than I was.
Okay.
So we marched on this adventure together. I was 22. She was 19, so she was fairly young. And we're both type A personalities, if anybody knows what that is. We're both firstborns, and there were a lot of people, I think, were betting on how long this was actually going to last, because that's a clash of personality.
Yeah.
And yet, as I've told people, if your marriage is committed, if you're committed in your marriage to a couple of things, one, to walk in faithfulness and fidelity, two, to walk in forgiveness, you can overcome all kinds of challenges.
Yeah.
We've had our ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, you know, we have, when we fight, we've had fight, they can be pretty aggressive because we're both aggressive people.
Mm.
But we walk through those
in
forgiveness and walk on. And that's how you can, even in today's culture where there's so little premium placed on marriage anymore, that you can walk that. So my wife and I, we'd been married a year at that time. We were going to a church in a suburb of Omaha. And our pastor was on vacation, so they bring in, you know, someone to fill the pulpit, and he was the president of the Omaha Bible School. And I knew of him, but I never met him. He knew my in-laws. And while he is teaching, I just hear this voice from the Lord. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was one of these things where I knew it was him because I would have never thought of something like this. This voice spoke to me and said, "Go ask him to disciple you."
And he's a visiting pastor you'd never met before. You just knew he had this role with this university or Bible college?
Bible school.
Bible school.
And I just kind of sit up in my seat. And so afterwards, and you know what's interesting about it is I didn't even think that that might be presumptuous to go to the president of a Bible school where people pay tuition to go to school to ask him to disciple me for free. I just thought, well, I've heard this. I'm going to go ask him. So I introduced myself afterwards in the foyer in the church and who I was. And I said, "Pastor Ollie, this is probably going to sound a little strange to you, but I really believe the Lord told me to come ask you to disciple me." And without missing a beat, he looks at me and he says, "When do you want to get started?"
Wow.
And for the next 4 years, we met almost every Monday. He would give me books to read. We'd study. We'd go through things. He was questioned. Very Socratic method, if anybody knows what that is. It's a very question-and-answer approach to search and study and discover truth. And I would say, without question, the most important man in my life.
And you're not attending this Bible school?
No.
You have like a career path you're on, or you're employed somewhere? Or?
I was a public school teacher at that time.
Teacher, married just a year, beginning into your new marriage.
Into my new marriage. Had no idea. This came out of the clear blue. And I would say, for those of you that are believers, that are listening to this, are Christian believers, you know, when you get that voice, you need to act on it. Because there are times where God does speak to us in that still small voice, especially if it sounds like, in this case, like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Because if I had missed that, my life would be I mean, I can't even imagine how different it would be.
Well, I love the fact that one of your foundational stones was discipleship, getting mentored, meeting up with people, whether it was with the Young Life team or this guy, you knew the importance of that. And that would be like another word for our listeners is be in a discipleship relationship. Actually, kind of the twofold, threefold, where you're mentoring somebody, but somebody's also mentoring you. You're like a Paul to somebody, and you're
right.
a Timothy,
right.
and then you're also like a Barnabas. You kind of have the roles where you're encouraging somebody, you're learning from somebody, and then you're passing on to somebody. So that was very foundational in the very beginning stages of your Christian walk is discipleship.
Absolutely.
And I know we'll return to this later on because it's been fundamentally how God has led you into this new exciting ministry that is going to be starting actually. Well, the ministry has already started, but your role as president and CEO of Pinnacle Forum will begin, I think, October 1st or something?
October 1st. That's
yeah.
Correct.
So, okay. Well, okay. So you know the importance of discipleship. You're having this Bible college president pouring into you, not 1 year, not 2 years, but into your fourth year. Are you sensing at that point, like I love that Colossians verse, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart is working for the Lord, not for men. As a school teacher, are you feeling called as a Christian school teacher, or is that just like a vocation and you're waiting to see if God would lead you into Christian ministry, even though Christian ministry can take place in that classroom?
I wasn't looking for ministry per se at that point. I had felt called to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And had a really, the Lord really used me in the school I was mm-hmm. at. We actually saw a revival break out in our school, mm-hmm. a real outpouring of the Spirit of God in our school. It began with a Bible study I started with several of my students. They began starting lunch meetings where they would gather with other students to talk about Christ. And it just kind of, the spontaneous spark. Mm-hmm. And within a matter of months, they were having 75, 80, 90 kids a day. Mm-hmm. Meeting in the lunchroom
wow.
to talk about Jesus. I started a Bible study with some teachers. Three teachers became Christians. It was really amazing. And I saw, even as young and as immature as I was in the Lord, and I was, how God worked through people if they just would submit and be willing to be utilized by Him as His hands and feet. It was really a remarkable experience.
Well, I know the other day when you shared to the Pinnacle Forum group, you talked about three areas that God has very much molded you or had you fond of these principles or these concepts, the discipleship, the spiritual revival, and cultural transformation. And it sounds like spiritual revival was taking place early on in your spiritual pilgrimage, if you will. I mean, you were witnessing it as you would say, okay, Lord, I'll start a Bible study. It seems like a good thing. Teach people about Jesus. And then suddenly that becoming a catalyst or a spark to encourage others to gather and to study and to meet. So you were seeing this, because I know you've been walking with the Lord like 42 years now, but you were seeing this fruits of maybe some of your labor, your discipline, or your surrendering to the Lord very early on in your journey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what was really neat about it was here I was when I was going through this process of being discipled, and I was reading books and studying, one of the things we studied was the history of Christian revivals.
Mm.
And this just awakened this passion in me for seeing God's Spirit poured out in the ways that this has happened in the past, where you'd see these great moves of God in the history of America, other parts of the world. So here I'm studying these things, and then I've started this Bible study, and lo and behold, in a small way, but in a very impactful way, it happens right there in the school. I mean, I used to take my lunch period in my classroom and pray for other teachers, for the students every day, and this happens. So I'm experiencing the benefit of being mentored, of being discipled. I experienced what happened when God moves in a special way. And this was impacting the culture of the school, so that, in effect, was cultural transformation. So I'm experiencing these things that God is awakening in me, and I look back on it and I go, what a special privilege that was to see that in that way at the times that I'm being discipled in those ways.
In case you just tuned in, I have Guy Rogers in the studio.
He recently was sharing at a Pinnacle Forum gathering, and we talked, and I said, I need to get you out to the home studio and record some of your testimony and your sharing and how God has led you to now be the CEO and president of Pinnacle Forum, and actually you'll be starting in that role the 1st of October. And so thank you for being available, and I knew on the onset that we would have a lot to share about because I want to do just a little thumbnail of what is Pinnacle Forum, and then maybe we can continue this conversation on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, the Tuesday edition, about Pinnacle Forum and then what the Lord's been teaching you lately, because it seems like you've had many life lessons through the years, and especially this new transition where you're literally packing up from Florida, moving out on this new journey to Scottsdale, Arizona, to Arizona,
That's
the Phoenix
correct.
Area, and taking on this new role, which in light of all the background experience, seems like God has been preparing and equipping you to take on this role, which will influence quite possibly the nation or the nations as influencers through all these different parts of Pinnacle Forum go into their workplace, into their area of expertise and influence others. So in our closing, just minute or two, tell our listeners a little about what is Pinnacle Forum.
Okay. Well, I can sum up Pinnacle Forum real quickly with the motto. It really speaks to what it is very well, transforming leaders to transform culture. If you look at whether in the Bible, you look at history, look at present time, whether it's a culture of a football team, whether it's the culture of business, whether it's the culture of government, the culture of a community, can be really transformed by what are called high-capacity leaders, mm-hmm. influencers, for good or bad, by the way.
All right.
And what Pinnacle Forum is about is finding these high-capacity influencers in the marketplace, business, professions, you know, these types of arenas, and helping to equip them, to encourage them, to provide places where they can come together with other leaders in a confidential way, to encourage each other, and then to engage the culture in the ways that God has called them mm-hmm. through their special giftings and passions to engage the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about it, look at how Jesus changed the world. How did he do it? Primarily through 12 men.
Yeah.
He changed the lives of 12 men who then changed the world.
Right.
That's when you look at the heart of Pinnacle Forum, that's what we're talking about doing. I'm so excited about this opportunity because I just know God has, you said God has been preparing me. When I saw the opportunity, when they were looking for the position, my wife was looking out on the website and she said to me, Guy, you need to go after that.
Yeah, we'll pick right up here tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends and share some more. And I've been affiliated and involved with Pinnacle Forum, I don't know, 5 or 6 or so years, I don't know, for a while now. And I love that statement, from success to significance, where many of these are very successful businessmen or in their career or their field of expertise. They're very successful, but turning it into significance for the Lord, taking that expertise, that wealth of knowledge, that influencing capacity, and using it for God's glory and modeling or helping others in their organizations with the skills that they have from, you know, their career. So
right.
Success to significance. Pinnacle Forum, you can find out more at pinnacleforum.com. Pinnacleforum.com. And then I encourage you to tune in again tomorrow at the same time. We'll have Guy back to share a little more about Pinnacle Forum and what the Lord's been teaching him lately. Wait till you hear some of the life stories, life lessons, and how God literally equipped him and presented this opportunity to be the president and CEO of Pinnacle Forum, a great ministry that's influencing leaders to influence their world. Stop by pinnacleforum.com. This program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, and you can also stop by the Great News Radio Facebook page or our homepage. You'll see a photograph of Guy. With permission, I'll be taking a photograph of you and posting that soon, Guy. And we hope that something that's been said or shared will draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ today. And if you have any questions, maybe something that Guy said about having a relationship with God that maybe is new to you or something that you've never thought about before, you can make a free call. These are trained counselors, trained people that love to answer any questions you have about the Christian faith. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.